all please have a seat, grab a hymnal, and open up that hymnal, song number 24. We can begin this morning service.
Yeah.
commencements, the following, we'll be doing Psalm number 210.
All right, good morning. Thanks, everybody, for coming to celebrate with us on our fifth anniversary. If you'd like a bulletin, just go ahead and slip up your hand, and Brother Adam will help you. If we get another guy to help Brother Adam this morning, and there's a lot of people here, maybe help him hand those out so people don't have to get a bulletin by the time I'm done. So it's great to have that problem, though. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. I know we got several visitors, both locally visiting for the first time, and also several visitors from Tempe, so I appreciate everybody coming out and again helping us celebrate. But as always, we have our service times there in the upper left-hand side of your bulletin every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., again at 5:30 p.m. this evening. And then Thursdays at 7, we meet, and we're going through the book of Acts. We'll be in chapter number 17 this week. We also have the soul-winning times, the salvations and baptisms for both the month and year, and then also a quick welcome to FWBC Tucson. Just some notes for any visitors that might not be familiar with our church. Of course, we are a family integrated church, meaning we keep all the families together. We don't separate the children from the parents here, so they sit in the service. However, if you need some privacy, mothers, ladies, there's always the nursery back there, and you can take advantage of that. And this morning, it might overflow a little bit. We're kind of at capacity as far as that might go, but feel free to just spill out into the foyer there if you need it. And then also, the men's bathroom, I guess this is definitely worth mentioning this morning. Okay, so the way it works here is the ladies' restroom is inside for the ladies and young children. And then the men, there is a restroom located outside on either side of the building opposite us. So I know this is kind of confusing, but if you just walk out the front door and go left or right and follow it up, about halfway down, you'll find a gated door that you'll need a key to. Now, the key is hanging just on the other side of that door, that entryway. And if you need more help, just grab one of the people that look like they know what they're doing around here, and we'll get you to the restroom, okay? We'll make it happen one way or another. However, if you do make use of the restroom, please be as quick as you can about it because of the fact that we only have the one key, and it looks like there might be a little bit of a line piling up this morning. So these are the practical matters that you have to address, you know, otherwise it just turns into pandemonium. Also, happy birthday to everybody celebrating this month. Normally we have birthday donuts, but I didn't want to fill everybody up. You know, obviously, I want you to come hungry. So we don't have the donuts this morning, but there's plenty of great food, and there'll be plenty of good desserts as well. So be sure to wish a happy birthday to the individuals there and those celebrating a wedding anniversary this month. And then, of course, the note, join us after the morning service for a potluck meal, celebrating 5 years this morning. Also on the back, just a quick note, there is a sign up for anyone who would like to volunteer to help clean the building. That's back there, and you can always see me for more details about that. That'll do it for announcements. We'll go ahead and just sing our next song before we get into the preaching this morning.
That's song number 210, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Number 210.
Take me away by burden, saving us here and now.
Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. That's Isaiah chapter 54. As always, we'll read the entire chapter. Please follow along silently as Brother Gabriel reads to us from Isaiah chapter 54.
Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 1, the Bible reads, Sing, O barren, that's not barren. Break forth into singing, cry aloud, thou that's not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not. Thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman, forsaken, and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, with great mercies will I gather thee, and a little wrath hath hid my face from thee for a moment. For with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn, the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on me. O thou afflicted, caused with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones in fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires, and I will make thy windows and the gates, and thy gates with carbuncles, and all thy borders with pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and grace shall be the peace of thy children, and righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals of the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument of his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt forget. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Brother Adam, would you pray for us?
Lord, Heavenly Father, just thank you for today, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Just thank you for this church that you blessed us with, Lord. Bless this service and give us a heart of understanding, Lord, to fill you with your spirit. Thank you for all you do.
Amen. Amen. So in Isaiah chapter 54, of course, this is one of those, quintessential passages that you end up turning to whenever you end up preaching one of your anniversary services. So I figured I'd just go ahead and get that out of the way and try not to be too original this morning on our fifth anniversary. Of course, that's not to make light of the fact that we've made it 5 years in Tucson. Obviously, that is a milestone. A lot of ministries don't even make it that far. But it's one milestone of many, we pray, to come. So I did want to preach this sermon because I think here in this passage we see some great instruction when it comes to growing and to broadening and expanding. And of course, that is always the goal of ministry, is to bring more people in, not just for the sake of filling up the place, but mainly really just because of the fact that you want more people to be saved and to hear and understand the Word of God. The more people that come in and grow and understand the gospel and understand living the Christian life, the better equipped they become at going out and preaching the gospel to others. Of course, that is the goal. That's why we want to grow as a church. And this is, again, a great passage here that I think gives us some good, strong points about what it's going to take to grow as a church. And really, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but really to grow as a church, you have to grow as an individual. You know, a church obviously is composed of individuals, families, and people. So really, this could all be applied to us as an individual this morning. We're going to look just here at the first two verses. If you look there, it says, Sing, O barren, thou didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. So, of course, this is a passage where God is, talking about the fact that eventually he's going to bring back Israel into their promised land. They're going to be judged. They're going to go into captivity. But they're going to come back eventually. He's kind of making this promise that although you're going to be as that barren woman, there is going to be a time when you have, you're going to have many children. You're going to have more children than of the desolate than of the children of the married wife, saying, I will prosper you again. He's not leaving them hopeless, but he is pointing out the fact that there is going to be a time of desolation. And notice, he gives in this promise, he says in verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Saying, I'm going to bring you back in, we're going to re-inhabit these desolate cities, and you're going to be like somebody who has to enlarge that tent. And I love the analogy he uses there of a tent, or a tabernacle is what they would have called it back then. This large, you know, structure consisting of, you know, the canvas, the whatever they used for the walls, and then the ropes, the cords, as it were, were coming down, and then being, of course, attached to the stakes. And what's interesting about this kind of goes back to what I was just saying a moment ago, is that he's speaking to a nation. He's speaking to the whole people. He's saying this is something that's being addressed to the nation of Israel. But notice the verbiage here. He's speaking in the first person. He's saying, enlarge the place of thy tent and stretch forth, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. So he's not just talking, of course, he's applying it to the nation, but he's speaking as to individuals, really, because he's talking about stakes and tents and tabernacles and all these things. And that goes to the point I was making a moment ago, that we need to, if we want to grow as a church and to prosper as a people of God, we have to make sure that we are doing certain things in our lives as individuals, okay? And I want to preach this morning a sermon entitled, Strengthen Thy Stakes, Strengthen Thy Stakes. And of course, you see several points there that can be made this morning, and we'll look at a couple of them in verse 2. It says, stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations, spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. And I always love it when the Bible just gives you your points, when it just lays it all out there, especially when they're alliterated like this, right? You have the stretching, the sparing, and the strengthening. So those are the points that we'll be making this morning. The first one being, of course, to stretch forth, right? He says there to stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. And really, the way we can apply this morning is that if we want to grow as a church, then we as individuals are going to have to reach beyond our current station. We should never get to a place in our Christian life where we feel that we have arrived, or we have, there's nothing more we can learn, there's nothing more we can do, there's no more sacrifices we can make. There's always needs to be this idea of stretching forth in the Christian life, of reaching beyond where we are, of expanding our borders as individuals. Because again, you know, we're celebrating here this morning 5 years, and we're celebrating the fact that as a church here in Tucson, we have grown. You know, we started out up there on First Avenue over there by, you know, I really don't remember the addresses. I just remember it was near Smoky Mo's, right, which is the best barbecue in town, right? Right across the parking lot from Smoky Mo's. Of course, we were in that little complex there, very small. Those of you who were there know what I'm talking about. It was very tight. And then, of course, we moved into this facility right across the way here in this other building. And then, you know, a little over a year ago, we moved into this facility. And we've obviously have grown numerically. And it's been great over the years to see people who've been with us for a long time. We've grown spiritually in their walk. But again, we don't want to get to the place where we think that we've arrived as a church. And we certainly don't want to think we've gotten to a place where we've arrived as individuals. In the Christian life, there always has to be the stretching forth. He's saying, if you're going to come back into the land and prosper, here's what you have to do. The Lord says, I will bring you back. I'm going to make you very fruitful. You're going to be more fruitful than the married wife. But there's some things that you have to do on your part in order to encompass that and able to facilitate that, in order to make that growth possible. And the first thing he's saying is to stretch forth, to reach beyond your current situation, your current station, wherever you are in the Christian life. And the Christian life is, of course, a growth. It's a process. It's a process of maturity. But it's one that never ends. It's one that keeps going on. If you look there, he says, stretch forth thine habitations. And I'll point that out again, that he's saying it's thine habitations. It's thy stakes. It's plural. People play a part in a growing church. You know, the people of Israel are given this promise of God, yes, but there was a part that they had to play. There was something they had to do as individuals. And just as he says here, that is their habitations. It is thine habitations. You know, we have a part to play in a growing church. We can't just sit back and expect the church to grow in and of itself. There's things that we have to do. If you would, go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Really just trying to drive that first point in this morning. Really bring that home. Because that's something that people really need to get a hold of. is that a church consists of individuals. And the more people understand that, and the more people take on responsibilities, and the more people are willing to stretch themselves beyond where they currently are in their Christian life, the more a church will grow as a whole. But if we have an overwhelming majority of people in a church who think that we've arrived somehow simply because, you know, we've gotten to this building, or we've, you know, reached a certain average number of attendance on Sunday mornings, or the offering plate is this, or whatever, they have some kind of metric where they think they've arrived, and they stop trying, and they stop putting forth any effort, and they don't want to stretch any further than they've come, well, that's a recipe for disaster. The saying is, if you're not growing, you're dying. And that's true for an organization, that's true for a church, that's true for an individual. Now, I'm not talking about growing physically, okay? Some of us are in no danger of dying, right? Self-included, okay? I include myself in that. But I'm talking spiritually. You know, we want to make sure we're always growing spiritually, never getting to this place where we feel that we've arrived. If you look there in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, look at verse 14. He says, "These things write unto thee," I'll point that out. Of course, he's writing to Timothy, an individual, "hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and ground of the truth." And again, I'm pointing out that he's writing to an individual. And the temptation might be to say, well, you know, he's writing to Timothy. You know, it's all on the leadership. And obviously, leadership plays a huge role in church growth. But a part of the role of leadership is to also remind others in the church that it's also on them, that they have a part to play. Obviously, back in Isaiah, hopefully you bookmarked it. I should have had you bookmark it. Isaiah 54, the Lord, you know, is the leader, so to speak. He's the one that's going to, you know, organize and bring the people back in. But he's also telling them, hey, you as the people have a part to play. And the first part we're looking at is that you have to be willing to stretch forth. You need to be able to willing to expand beyond where you are currently. And of course, again, here's writing to Timothy, but he's writing to him as an individual. Okay? And Timothy is told to be an ensample to the flock. The reason why Timothy does the things that he does, the reason why he's being instructed to do the things that he's supposed to do, is to be an example to others. And he's saying, hey, you need to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. This is something he's writing to individual. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. So yes, it's written to a leader, but the thing is, we all have a ministry to play within church. We all have a role to fulfill. Paul said in Romans 12, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 18. All things are of God. We understand that Jesus said, I will build my church. But that does not mean that we as a church just sit back and just wait for God to do everything. We don't just sit back and wait for a leader to do everything. We have to be willing, if we want to grow even beyond our, you know, where we've come so far in 5 years, we have to be willing as individuals to stretch ourselves and to go beyond where we have already been. He says in verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us, right? And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. He's including everybody. He's including the church with himself, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given me the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, God's reconciled us, but he's only given me the ministry. Is that what he said? No, he said he's reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and he's given unto us this ministry. Paul's including the people there. He's saying, you Corinthians, you play a role in this ministry. If we're going to stretch forth, if we're going to expand, if we're going to enlarge our borders, we have to understand that the ministry does not fall upon one individual. It falls upon the entire body of people. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. He said in closing to the Colossians in chapter 4, and say to Archippus, take heed to thy ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, and fulfill it. You say, who was Archippus? Well, he was a man in the church. Perhaps he was a leader, but you know what? He, like the rest of us, has been given a ministry, and he told him, hey, you've received this ministry. Make sure that you fulfill it. And if we're going to fulfill the ministry that we have here as individuals, as a church, we have to be willing to expand. We have to be willing to be stretched forth. He told Timothy to make full proof of thy ministry. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Of course, a very famous portion of Scripture here, but he's saying again, look, we have received this ministry. Not I've received this ministry, and it's not just on me, it's on all of us. We have received this ministry, and notice what he says, we faint not. If we're going to grow as a ministry, you know, if we're going to stretch ourselves like we ought to, you know, it's going to demand something of us to the point where, you know, we might even think we're going to faint. What do we say? Why would he say we faint not if there wasn't a possibility of fainting? If there wasn't a possibility of, you know, of being exhausted or stretched beyond measure, right? Look at verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Go over to Philippians chapter number 3. We'll look at a few things there. Philippians chapter number 3. So again, this morning, I'm just making the point here that God has given us steps in Isaiah chapter 54 and how to, you know, broaden our borders, how to grow as a ministry. He was telling them, hey, you're going to grow as a people, Israel, but here's what you have to do as individual with your habitations, with your ropes, with your stakes, right? Not just one tent. He's talking about multiple habitations, okay? Philippians chapter number 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So again, this idea of reaching forth, of being willing to stretch forth, to be stretched, to lengthen out those cords, to stretch them, to go beyond where you are right now. And he's saying he's reaching forth, and I love that he's pointing out it's to those things which are before. I press. It's this idea of having to put effort into it. It's not something that just happens. You have to press against it. You have to push. I press toward. I go forward toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So it's a pressing forward. It's a moving forward to those things which are beyond you. Now, let me just say this before I go any further in the sermon. What I'm not talking about is stretching yourself thin in the ministry. Not, you know, I'm talking about stretching yourself beyond your current borders, yes, but not to the point where you're going to fail. I don't want to be misunderstood this morning because there are ministries out there like that. Believe me, there's ministries that will run you into the ground and say it's not enough. There's ministries, you know, and really a lot of ministries that will just have you really busy doing a lot of things that aren't really amounting to much. So I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we're just try to be busy for busyness sake. And I'm not saying everybody needs to be on the same place as everybody else. But what you need to do this morning is say where you are and where you could be. You know, some people are more mature in the Lord. Some people are newer to the faith. And some people are more mature. Some people are farther along in their faith. But none of us has arrived, and all I'm saying is that this morning you as an individual need to look where you are and say and ask yourself, how can I stretch myself just a little bit further this next year? How can I stretch myself just a little bit further? So 5 years from now, maybe the anniversary service is even a little bigger. What do I need to do as an individual to stretch just a little bit more, to press just a little bit harder toward that mark, to reach forth just a little bit further than where I'm at? You see, sometimes people hear a sermon like this and they think that I'm asking people to just go all out, just to go all in right now. Just push it all forward, you know, take the brakes off and just run this thing into the ground. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm asking is that the people in this church ask themselves, what can I do to just stretch forth a little bit more? I mean, I'm not much of a stretcher, okay? But isn't that part of stretching? You know, you don't just immediately try to touch your toes. If you can't touch your toes, it's a recipe for disaster, right? Especially when you have some anatomical structures that are, you know, maybe prohibiting that a little bit more than other people, right? But you build up towards that, right? You build up to that long stretch, to that deep stretch. You don't just jump into the deep end. You make those little movements, right? Those little adjustments. You're saying, Brother Corbin, it sounds like you more know about stretching than you're letting on, right? But that's the analogy I'm using because that's what I want people to do this morning. Is not feel like they have to just reach all the way to the end for that prize. They just need to stretch forth a little bit more. They need just to reach a little bit further beyond where they're at right now. Not stretch beyond what you're capable of, but certainly beyond your current borders. See, people limit themselves, don't they? And say, well, I can't let out any more rope for this tent. I can't let out any more slack for this tabernacle. I'm already stretched pretty thin. But if we're honest, you know what? We probably could stretch ourselves just a little bit more. And then we would become even stronger, more flexible, and then we'd be able to stretch even just a little bit further. So that's my first point. If you're back there, keep something in Philippians. If you're still in Isaiah, I'll just read to you. But it says, again, enlarge the place of thy tent, in verse 2, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords. The first point was to stretch forth the curtains. Second point is to spare not. And again, I prefaced this point already by saying I'm not asking people to go beyond, to just take the brakes off and just run themselves into the ground. I'm not saying that. But he does say here to spare not, to not spare, to lengthen thy cords. Don't be too conservative. Don't say, this might have made more sense back then, right? When they weren't just churning out rope, in Taiwan while we sleep. Where, all the rope and the cords that they had were probably very precious things that were very valuable to them that, took time to make. And he's saying, don't spare with that cord. Trust me, I'm going to grow you. There's going to be more people here. You're going to grow as a nation. I'm going to bring you back into this land. And that city which once was desolate is going to be filled again. It might look desolate. It might look barren. But you know what? There's going to be more children here. There's going to be more people here than even the married wife. Right? He's saying to trust him. And I believe that's what God is asking us to do as a church too. To just trust God that yes, he will build the church. Like, we have to trust God for that. We don't want to fall into a bunch of, just pulling out a bunch of gimmicks and just doing a bunch of sappy things and just trying to, go to some of the lengths that some people go to in order to just, for the sake of, increasing in attendance. Where would that lead? That'd lead to the contemporary music. That'd lead to, getting out of the suit and getting into a graphic tee and some holy jeans and a little plastic pulpit up here and little flesh-colored mic, and maybe I'd start spiking my hair, start talking like this, and every message is just that soft, nice message, and we can just have, 20-minute sermons and 45 minutes of praise, and we'll stop praise for, have a little handshake and hug fest in the middle of it, and, we'll get a latte bar back there for everybody, and roll in the, McDonald's or Starbucks or whatever. But that's what people do. That's where that leads. What I'm saying this morning, when I'm telling us to spare not, is to not hold back and not to think that there isn't more that we could do as a church, as individuals. And obviously, we do trust God. We're trusting him to increase us. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do anything. Obviously we can as a church and as individuals, we can do more soul winning. We can follow up on converts. We can encourage people to get baptized. We can encourage visitors when they come out. We can follow up with people. There are things that we can do and should do, I believe, to help the church grow. But honestly, you say, well, I don't know about that. But, he's telling us to not spare. He's saying, hey, don't spare. Don't hold back. And in our lives, if we want to grow as Christians and thinking beyond just growing numerically as a church, if we as individuals, because that's how it's going to happen to grow as a church. Individuals are going to grow spiritually. If you're really going to grow spiritually as a Christian, if you're really going to get beyond where you're at right now, you're going to have to just say nothing's off limits to God. Say, you know what, Lord? Nothing is off limits to you. Whatever you want, it's yours. If you're still in Philippians, look at verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ, of Jesus my Lord. Did he say, I count most things? Some things. I count 99% of every of these things, but there's just this one area where God can't have that. It's off, that's off limits to him. No, Paul said, I count all things. And look, the thing is, I don't think God's going to ask everything of us. But I believe he will ask us to maybe stretch a little bit further than we are. He might ask us to, spare it just a little bit less on his behalf. Paul said, I count all things but loss, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ. And if you know what dung is, right? Right? That's what fills a diaper, okay? That's strong language. Oh, I can't believe you'd say that. Well, that's the Bible. Paul said, I count these things dung. You know why some people don't, they're not willing to spare not, is because they're holding on to dung, essentially. And I mean, Paul's speaking figuratively, obviously, right? It's not like he was in manure sales before he got saved. You know, so you know what? I count this dung as dung. Well, duh. He's saying all the things that I achieved, all the worldly accomplishments, all the success I've had in the world, it's dung. I count it all dung. What he's saying is that I'm not sparing. I'm not going to spare. I'm going to let out the ropes as far as God wants. I'm going to expand as far as God wants me to. Nothing's off limits. You know, and obviously this is really easy to say about sin. And as I preached, I think it was Thursday night, you know, I made the point that really God's will is more concerned about the things that we're not doing than the things we should be doing. People get so worked up about what God wants them to do, they really ought to be focusing on what God doesn't want them to do more than anything. You know, some of us, we need to just learn to look at our sin and say, this is dung, and let it go, and get the sin out of our lives. That's a great place to start. How am I going to stretch myself a little bit further? How am I going to grow as a Christian? How am I going to expand beyond my border? How am I going to, in what way should I spare not? How about looking at the dung of sin and seeing it for what it is and saying, you know what, this really is dung. Let me get out of my life. It stinks. It's making a mess. You know, we were out soul winning and we saw the diaper bank, this building. You know, and I made the joke about it. I said, is that where you deposit your precious diapers? Obviously, that's not what it was. It was a place where people could go get diapers that were in need of diapers, right? But, I mean, isn't that kind of spiritually what some people do with their sin? They have this stinking diaper full of dung, and it's precious to them. They go into their little diaper bank, and they say, could you put this up somewhere and keep it safe? You got a safety deposit box for my dung-filled diaper? Keep this safe. You know, you need to stop sparing that. You need to just get that out. That's a great place to start. Get the sin out of your life. That pretty much goes without saying. But, you know, there's a lot of other things that come into our lives as Christians that hold us back that aren't necessarily sinful in and of themselves. Do we count them as dung? Do we see them as dung? I mean, why was Paul able to accomplish everything that he accomplished? Sounds to me like he had to start by looking at everything in his life and saying, it's all dung. Compared to the glory of God, to the excellency of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, for the prize that is set before me, for the race that is set before me, to win that, to run that race, to finish my course, I have to count everything else as dung. He's saying everything else compared to that is dung. And I'm not saying that you need to just forsake everything this morning. But you know you should be willing to. There should be no area of our life where God can't put his finger on and say, I want that. And I want it to change. You know, if we did that, you know what we'd find ourselves doing? Stretching. We'd find ourselves expanding. And this is the mentality that we have to bring into the Christian life if we want to grow as Christians, if we want a body to grow as a church. It really is, you know, I don't want to say an all or nothing kind of attitude. Because typically when we have an all or nothing attitude, it typically ends up being nothing, right? Whenever we approach, you know, this, you know, all these examples are coming to mind. You know, like a diet. People go on a diet. I don't know what that's like, but people go on these diets all the time. I'm kidding, right? Start tomorrow. But people take I know this is a sensitive topic. People don't want to talk about diet, right? But people sometimes carry that attitude into a diet. Well, it's all or nothing, right? And they're doing good, and they're doing good, and then they mess up one day. It's just like, well, what's the point? You know, just right back off the wagon, right? And really, God's not asking us for an all or nothing attitude. I don't believe that. I mean, that is the attitude we should have. Count it all dung. But how God really works is that he stretches us slowly. You know, he slowly brings us around. If you would, just stay where you are for now. I won't have you turn anywhere. I'll just read to you. Actually, you know what? Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Deuteronomy 7. You know, God is going to stretch us slowly. I mean, that's what he's done in this ministry over the last 5 years. God has slowly stretched this ministry, slowly expanded it. The people that have been in this church, you know, and people that have been, you know, in Tempe and other places, you know, If you've served God for any length of time, you could probably look back on your own life and see that. How God has slowly stretched you to where you are today. Amen. To the point where if you had told the person, you know, however many years ago, this is where you'd be, you'd say, no way. I would never walk down the street in public with a Bible in my hand. I'd never walk up to someone's door and knock on it and ask them about their eternal soul. Right? That's kind of a heavy question, isn't it? Where are you going when you die, right? Walk up, knock, I've come for your soul. That's not how we do it, okay? It's not a good example. You know, hi, Sheev, I've come to bind you and take you to my master. Right? That's getting out of hand, right? But some of us, if we would see, if we could, several years ago, look from that point, look to where we are today, we'd say, who is that guy? Who is that person? But how did you get here? Did you just stretch all at once? Did God just, you know, rip you apart and just, here you are? Did God just say, you got to give up all of this right now and you just stop everything? No, you know, there's probably, I got this sin out, and then I got that sin out, and then I started getting this godly discipline in, I started doing this. It was a slow building. It was a letting out of those ropes. It was a slow stretching out. It was a process. God stretches us out slowly. I like the example in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Look at verse 22, of course. It's referring to the fact that he's bringing them into the promised land. He's saying, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring you into this promised land regarding these inhabitants that are already there, the Canaanites. It says in verse 22, and the Lord shall, thy God, will put out those nations before thee by little and little. He didn't say, I'm not going to drive out the Canaanites all at once. He said, you're going to get Jericho, and then you're going to get Ai, and then you're going to get the next city and the next one. You're going to defeat these kings and then five kings, and eventually it'll all be yours. But you're not just going to have a blitzkrieg where you just go in there and take over the whole thing at once. He said, I'm going to drive them out little by little. He said, thou mayest not consume that at once. Why? Lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. So he was doing that for their sake. He's saying, I don't want you to be overtaken by the beasts that are left behind. Of course, this is very practical what he's talking about here, right? He's saying, I don't want to just drive out all the inhabitants and then let all the man-eaters take over. Because instead of fighting a Canaanite, you're going to be fighting a bear or a lion or whatever, okay? You know, and that's how it is in our lives. You know, God grows us by little by little. We defeat one enemy and then the next. But you know what? There's always that next enemy. There's always that next sin. There's always that next thing that has to be overcome. If you would, go back to Isaiah chapter number 54. Isaiah chapter number 54. It's not going to be a long sermon this morning, but I did want to preach this passage. It's the one I believe the Lord laid on my heart this morning. And I see these points about how we're going to grow, how we're going to expand. It was very true for the people back then. They were given a promise that they would return to the promised land and that God would bless them again, that they would become fruitful again, that they would inhabit those desolate places. He would keep up his end of the bargain, but there was also something that they had to do. They had to stretch forth the curtains of their habitations. They had to spare not and lengthen their cords. And last of all, they had to strengthen their stakes. And that's the title of this morning's sermon. I don't know if I already said that, but it's Strengthen Thy Stakes. And I love the analogy of the tent here, the way he's using this as a description of them growing as a nation, and I'm using this morning as how we're going to grow as a church and more specifically as individuals. It's like that tent, right? And so far we've talked about the curtains and we've talked about the cords. But last of all, he mentions the stakes. And what's interesting about the stakes is that without the stakes, you don't have the rest. You can get all the cords you want, and you can have nice, big, beautiful curtains. You can have a great walled tent. You can put up all that canvas, but if you don't stake that thing down, you know, you're going to wake up under the stars, or worse. You know, first good gust of wind that comes through, it's gone. Who's ever been in a tent that rolled over on them? Anybody? Has anybody ever seen that happen to someone? Okay. Well, this happens. I know because I've seen it. Maybe you don't believe me, right? But I remember being camping, and my younger sister, when we were just kids, and she was they stayed the night in a tent with her friend, and they were just little kids. And we woke up that morning to, screaming. That's my best little girl scream. Okay? I was trying to hit that higher octave. And we ran out, and their tent was slowly rolling over in the wind. Because they're just light, you know, there's these little people, right? And they had all that canvas around them for that wind to hit, all that surface area for it to push. So why did that happen? Was it the tent? Was it its fault? Was it the wind's fault? Was it my sister's and her friend's fault? Should they have, you know, eaten more that night or something? Should they have gone in there with some, you know, rocks in their pockets or something? No, it was the guy who set up the tent and didn't put the stakes in. That's what the stakes are there for. And I get it. Those things are annoying. Right? You go camping and get those cheap plastic ones. If you don't know what you're doing. You know, the seasoned guys know you throw those out and you buy the steel ones. You get the good ones, right? But if you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to drive that thing in and it's all bending over and snapping and you're hitting roots and rocks, and you might be tempted to just say, who needs it? Well, you know, you might end up like my little sister, just rolling down across some meadow somewhere, waking everybody up, shrieking in the morning. That's what bothered me the most. I was trying to get a good night's sleep. But you see how important stakes are. And it's interesting in Isaiah 54 that God mentions it last. Because if there's one thing you don't want to forget in this process, it's the stakes. The cords are important. The curtains are important. You know, that's what's going to cover everybody up and protect them. That's what's going to, you know, make that nice, hospitable dwelling for everybody to come in and get out of the elements. But it won't last without stakes. Now, you know, I don't know if you've ever been around a big, like a circus tent or anything like that. But in my old church in Michigan, there's a guy that came through a few times, and he had a tent ministry. That's not where he preached the gospel to tents, you know. He's always down at Big Five in the sporting section, you know, and preaching to these tents. He got Coleman saved, okay? He had a tent ministry because he'd come and he'd set up this big tent, and he'd bring in all these hay bales and things like that and just had a good old country meeting, whatever they want to call it. I don't know. It's kind of a gimmick, to be honest. But I remember setting up that tent with him. And, you know, we helped out. And you know what? One of the main things he got after us about was the stakes. And those weren't the little plastic ones. These were like, I think they were rebar. And he had welded things on it. And you had to take a sledgehammer and you had to drive that thing in. And it had to be at a certain angle. And if you didn't do it right, you had to redo it. And it was a lot of work. But, you know, when people showed up, you know what they commented on, what they remarked on? They didn't walk over to the end of that that rope and go, what a great stake. You know, that's something you say at Longhorn, right? They walk over, well, is that rebar? What is that? Eighth inch, quarter inch, 5/8? What'd you have to use to drive that? 12 pound, 15 pound? How many strokes? You know, it's not what people are interested in. They liked the blue and white, you know, canvas. They liked everything that was underneath the tent. They liked everything that was above ground, everything that they could see. All the visual appealing stuff. They were impressed by how big that tent was, and it was big. That's what caught their eye. But you know what? What was the most important part of that tent? It was the stakes. Of course, the cords are important, but they're attached to the stake. You can hang all the ropes off the side that you want. They have to be attached to the stake. I think you get the point. That's why we need to, if we're going to grow, if we're going to stretch, if we're going to not spare in our lives, we have to make sure that we strengthen our stakes most of all. Say, I want to do more. I want to give more, I want to sacrifice more, I want to stretch myself more, I want to spare less in my Christian life. Great, strengthen your stake. Make sure you drive the stake down. And look, the stake, and you say, what's the stake? Get to the point. I'll tell you here in a minute, but it's something we've preached about constantly as preachers. It's things that we bring up over and over and over and over again because it's the most important thing. It's the basics. It's the disciplines of the Christian life. That's what you need to deepen in the Christian life. If you want to grow and expand as an individual, if you want this church to grow and expand as a body, the people that are in this church or whatever church you're a part of need to learn to deepen their stakes, to deepen the disciplines of the Christian life. You know, and we might even be sitting here saying, well, I've already done a lot of that. You know, I've been in church for a long time. I've been reading my Bible. Great, don't stop. Keep driving that stake in. I mean, what are these disciplines? How do you strengthen the stake? Reading your Bible. Reading your Bible. And that, I mean, how many sermons have I preached on reading your Bible? How many times have I mentioned it? Why do you always bring that up? Because that is a stake in the Christian life. That is something that is going to plant you firmly in the Christian life. I'll wrap it up, but if you would, go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You pull the stakes out of that tent, it's a goner. It's just a matter of time. You destroy the foundation, you unloose the moorings of whatever, you know, it's going to drift away. You pull up the anchor, don't expect the ship to stay in one spot. It's going to be tossed with all those different waves. You know, I like the illustration. I was going to have you turn it, but I'll just read to you for sake of time in Ezra. When Cyrus is decreeing that the house of God be built again in Jerusalem, and he gave this decree, and he said, let the house be builded, and amen. Let God's house be builded, let it grow, let it expand. He said, the place where they offer sacrifices. You know, that sounds like not sparing. That's what church is, a place where we don't come to church and say, what can I get out of it? Church is a place we come and say, what can I do for the church? What can I do for on God's behalf? What sacrifices can I make? He said, the place where they offer sacrifices, the height thereof, 60 cubits. He's saying, he's giving out measurements. He's saying, it's got to be high. Build that thing tall. And the breadth thereof, 60 cubits. He's saying, build it wide. Build that big structure. But before he said all that, he said, let the foundations be strongly laid. Because he knew without a strong foundation, it doesn't matter how high you build it. It doesn't matter how wide you make it. Without a strong foundation, over time, it will crumble and fall. And we've probably all seen video that, hopefully never seen in person, where, you know, a builder got cheap. Or the inspector didn't know what he was doing. And they, you know, they didn't take the core sample or whatever. And they just went ahead and built the house. And it looks real nice until you get that big crack right down the side of the wall. Until the whole back half of the house just kind of falls off and, you know, crumbles into a bunch of sticks. Why? Why did that happen? It looks like such a strong building. It looks so nice. It had great carpet and nice paint. The doors, the trim, it was ornate. You know, it had all these bathrooms. All the fixtures were brass. It was beautiful. Yeah, but you know, it wasn't built on a very good foundation. You know, they skimped when they were pouring the concrete. They said, we don't need any rebar. We don't need to compact the sand underneath all that. We don't have to dig down. Frost line, what's that? Out here you probably would wonder what a frost line is, right? The point is that they didn't care much about the foundation. You know, Cyrus had enough sense, hey, let the foundation be strongly laid. Lay it strongly, and then we'll worry about the heights and the width and everything else. It's the foundations of the Christian life that are going to allow you to stretch yourself, that are going to compel you to be willing to not spare, to start seeing things for what they really are. You know, when you read your Bible, you'll start to identify things in your life and go, you know, that's actually dung. You know, I thought this was so precious and so important and so valuable, but now I'm reading my Bible and I'm getting a heavenly perspective. I'm starting to see things in light of eternity, and I'm kind of looking at some things in my life and I'm going, you know, that's dung. You know, all these vain ambitions, maybe it's sin, whatever it is. You read your Bible, you'll start to see things in your life and just say, you know what, they're not that important after all. And you'll actually start to loosen your grip. You'll start to let things go. I mean, who wants to hang on to dung after all? So bolster your Bible reading. That's how you lay the foundation. You deepen these disciplines. This is how you strengthen your stakes. You make sure the foundation is strong. Look at Luke chapter 6. We all know it, verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings. Of course, this is Jesus talking. You know, that's the Bible, friend. What are Jesus' sayings? Well, it's this book. Obviously, he was actually saying things back then, but you know, today, these are his sayings. And not just the red letters in the Gospels and Acts and Revelation. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, my Bible is the words of Jesus in black. Because these are all the words of God. He is the Word of God. All of this is God's sayings. He said, whosoever heareth my sayings and doeth them. It's one thing to hear the promise, Israel, that God is going to bring you back into the land. It's another thing to do your part. It's one thing to hear that God is going to build his church. You know, but it's also another thing to find out that you also have a role to play in that. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you unto whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house. See, I wasn't that far off with my analogy earlier. And dig deep. He didn't dig shallow. He wasn't obsessed with the siding. He wasn't obsessed with the slate roof. He wasn't sitting there and right out of the gate just thinking about all the, you know, nice things that everybody's going to see above ground. He's saying, let me build this house right. Let me dig deep. You know, this is something I kind of relate to because I was in earthwork for a long time, several years. I dug a lot, you know, helped dig a lot of basements and, you know, helped backfill a lot of basements. And it was kind of the joke on the crew is like all our work got buried. You know, all the carpenters and everybody else could walk by and say, I did that house and I built that house and this is my handiwork here and I've hung these cabinets and they could, you know, people would admire their work. Ours, we just buried it. What'd you have to do with that house? You can't see it. It's gone. It's there, but it's out of sight, right? But how important is it? And that's, you know, this guy had the right perspective. He's building that house. He's saying, I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to get down to that bedrock. I'm going to get down to that hard layer, and I'm going to make sure that this thing is strongly laid. He said he dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. You know, Jesus is that rock. You know, he would build his church upon that rock. But you know what? We have to dig down to that rock. We got to get down there, and we're the ones that have to lay the foundation. And we can't just lay our foundation on the grass in a Christian life. It won't last. It's exposed to the elements. We have to put forth the effort to dig down, to drive these stakes deep in our lives, to dig down and just do the nuts and bolts of the Christian life is really where it's at. How do we make it to 5 years? By people figuring out, oh, you're supposed to be in church. You know, if nobody in this room, you know, all of our members were just like, well, you know, church isn't that important. We wouldn't have made it this far. And is church attendance like some far out, you know, hard to understand, complex doctrine? No, it's real basic, isn't it? But you know what? A lot of people struggle with it. But the only reason we're here today is because some people figured that out. They said, you know, rather than just, you know, of being overly concerned with just end times prophecy and, you know, all the hard sermons and this and that and the other thing and all just the radical preaching from the new IFBs. You know, some people figured out, hey, for me to grow and expand as a Christian, for me to stretch myself and to start to see things the right way, I'm just going to have to get myself in church. You know, I woke up this morning and I was like, man, it's been 5 years. And then I thought, I mean, I've only been here in Arizona for 10 years. And when I got here, you know, Pastor Anderson had already been preaching for 7. And I'm starting to feel like 5 years, man, it's an accomplishment. But we still got a long way to go. There's still a lot of life to live. And I think, man, how did I get to where I'm at today? And then I thought all the way back to when I first got saved. And I thought all the way back to that first time I said, you know what, I'm going to church. And I left my mom's house, and I walked a few miles on foot, because I wanted to. I had a car. I just felt like walking that Sunday morning and walking into a little Baptist church. I was meeting in a UAW hall. They had just finished sweeping out all the cigarette butts and mopping up all the beer and throwing out the cans from the union guys the night before and set up all their little plastic chairs. And walking in and sitting down and hearing a Baptist preacher get up and just tear it up. And I said, that's where I want to be. You know, that was almost 20 years ago. But, you know, and I'm not trying to brag and say, oh, look at me, look where I've come. But, you know, you say, where did it all start? That's where it started, by me just figuring out, oh, I need to be in church. I just need to go to church. And, you know, and figuring that out real quick is like, I'm going to be in every church service. And I was in that church 3 times a week from there on out. That's pretty basic, isn't it? But you know what that really is? As unattractive and dull a topic as church attendance is, you know what it really is? It's digging a deep foundation. You know, digging is not exactly the most attractive job. You know, hey, sign me up for digging. Let me go out there and get, you know, blisters on my hands and break my back and be sore at the end of the day. It's not exactly the most, attractive job. You know, if you say you want a PhD, you don't mean post-hole digger. You know? Some of you have never heard that joke. I can't believe it. Some of the old ones still work. But you know what? That digging is necessary, isn't it? You got to have the guy who's willing to dig. You got to be willing to dig in the Christian life. You got to be willing to do just the nitty-gritty work that no one's going to recognize of going to church. No one's going to come slap you on the back and say, good job coming to church. Because it's so basic. Good job driving that stake. But you know what? If we don't do those things, people will notice. You had the job of being the guy that had to drive all the stakes for some tent, and you didn't do it. You know, no one's going to slap you on the back and say, attaboy for having done it. But don't do it and watch what happens. And it's the same way in our Christian lives. We can just blow that off and say, Bible reading, it's not that important. Prayer is not that important. Soul winning, not that important. Church attendance, not important. And give it time and watch what happens in your life. Watch what happens, as Jesus said here in where we're at. Verse 48, he is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Why? And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. He didn't say, you build upon the rock and then the storms never come. He's saying you build upon the rock, you do the digging that's necessary, you lay the foundation because the storms are coming. You know, and the guy, verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation. He built an house upon the earth and against the stream did vehemently beat, and immediately it fell. It didn't withstand for a second. You know what these guys have in common? The stream came. The storm came. Resistance came into both of their lives. One guy was prepared, one wasn't. And that's how it is in our Christian lives. You know, that's just life. We're all going to go through life. The advantage that we have as God's people is that there's a rock that we can build our life upon called the Word of God, upon Jesus Christ. And if we would just do the daily digging in this book, if we would just bolster our Bible reading, if we would just prop up our prayer life, if we would just shore up our soul winning, you know, we would build in the disciplines of the Christian life. We would deepen those things. We would drive those stakes deeper, and we would be able to withstand the storms as individuals. You know, and that's how churches stand the test of time as well. That's how they stand through the storms that come against a church as a corporate body. It's because it's filled with people that have done these things. They have already read that you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. They've already read, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It comes as no shock to them. Why? Because they've read it. They've read it in the Bible, and they know it's true, and they're prepared for it. You know, we need to strengthen our stakes in our lives. Of course, we want to do all these other things. We want to stretch the curtains, and we want to lengthen the cords. We want to be able to hold more in our lives. We want to be able to do more. We want to be able to, as a church, bring more people in and accomplish more and grow the spiritual family. But in order to do that, we have to strengthen the stakes. That's the most important part. It's the most important part, but you know, it's also the unseen support of that structure, isn't it? You know, it's kind of ironic. The part that just, you know, most people don't even notice. The part that probably goes the most, you know, unaccredited, that we don't get a lot of attaboys for, are the most important things. You know, we shouldn't be doing these things for the sake of others. Do these things for yourself. Do your Bible reading for yourself. Pray for yourself. Go soul winning, you know, obviously to get people saved, but, you know, do it for yourself too. Obey the command to go. You know, strengthen these things in our lives. Strengthen your stakes this morning. That's how we're going to grow. That's how we're going to expand as a church. That's how we're going to grow and expand as individuals, by strengthening our stakes. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for this church. Thank you for 5 great years, Lord, of service here in Tucson. Lord, I pray that it would be one of many to come, Lord, that you would continue to establish this church, to add to it, to build it, Lord, to grow it as you see fit. And Lord, I pray you'd help us all to do our part as individuals, Lord, to, as leaders and as followers, Lord, to make sure that we're just doing the basics in our lives, Lord, that we're doing the things that we ought to be doing as God's people, And Lord, that we would just give you something to bless, Lord, in our lives and as a church. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we dismiss. Also, real quick, so the way this will work for, let's just talk about the choreography here, I guess. What we're going to do is we're gonna have to set up the tables in here. So we've got these tables on the side. So we only need a few men, but we can get some help. But basically, this is the hard part. When it's over, when the song's done, and we're setting in, that means all of you can just get up and get out of here. So basically, everyone that's in here needs to just for a few moments kind of go hang out in the back, maybe go stretch your legs outside or something like that, and then we'll rearrange these chairs and tables. And also, bring anything with you too. Don't leave bags and Bibles and books behind. I know it's kind of an inconvenience, but it's just what we're working with here. So if you could bring all your stuff with you, and then just for a few moments go back there, and then we'll just set up a couple rows. So if we could just get some men also when we're done to just kind of come forward up here, and we'll kind of work all that out. But that'll do it for that. We'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into the talk.
Amen. Let's open up our hymnals and start number 119, Till the Storm Passes.